Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters. Let us say a short prayer, asking intercession of our Blessed Mother for the gift of the Holy Spirit to enlighten and guide us in this conference. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side, to light and guard, to rule and guide. In the name of the Father, of the Son, the Holy Spirit. So we reached the last day of our Lenten mission. We have reflected on the cross and how the Lord permits the cross in our life to purify us, to help us to love more. And in this last talk, I would like to pick up some thoughts I said already during these past talks, namely the guardian angel's help in our life, and how the guardian angel also encourages us now on the path of following Jesus on the way of the cross. So, you know, I'm from the Opus Angelorum, and we promote the devotion to the guardian angel, but not only devotion, but a friendship, a closer interaction with your guardian angel. And so I would like to give you in this talk some insights from the point of view of our guardian angel, how he sees us and what we can do for him, since he does so many things in our lives. And then we recognize also that we can learn from our guardian angel loving service and charity. That's the goal. We have said that at the beginning of this Lenten mission, the goal is always charity. That's the goal of our life. Yes, to be united with God in love, and on the way to heaven, to love and serve him. Yes, together with our guardian angel, to love him, serve him, and so reach heaven. Now, the guardian angel, your guardian angel, who is at your side 24 hours a day, he was given to you, assigned to you by God, and he was created already at the beginning of creation. We don't know how many millions of years ago, thousands of years ago, we don't know, but he was created when the universe was created. And this guardian angel had then to undergo a test, like all the other angels. And what was the test about? So he saw already God, he experienced him, but not yet completely fully in heaven. So he had to deserve that first. He had to undergo a test to enter into what we call beatific vision, this vision seeing God face to face. And what was this test about? So God revealed to your guardian angel in that time already that one day the second divine person, Jesus, would become man. Yes? So, you know, the angels are higher than we. They're very close to God and much more intelligent, much more powerful than we. And we are down here on earth. And now God revealed to the angels, I will become man. I will not become an angel, but I will become man. So that means if you put yourself into the shoes of an angel, he looks at God first above there, infinite greatness. God is so beautiful. And then suddenly God, one of the three divine persons, comes down and lowers himself and becomes a man. That was a big challenge for an angel, because now he had to adore God as a baby. He had to look at Jesus, who was the Son of God, with that humility, saying, okay, the great God is now makes himself so small, so humble. Yes? And he even then permits that man would crucify him and kill him. And the angels could not intervene. Of course, they would like to defend God. But Jesus said in his passion, I could call legions of angels to help me, but he didn't do it. So the angels had now to adore Jesus as a human being and see God in this little baby, in this man crucified, in this man having to eat, having to sleep. That was a big revelation for them. They admired this humility of God. And then this God would even become a little bread in the Eucharist. Yes, and sometimes ignored by us men. We don't respect the Eucharist. Sometimes we are irreverent. So that's a big challenge for the angels. So all the angels, including your guardian angel, had to undergo this test and say, okay, our God is so humble. Do I now adore God as a human being? And do I accept that Mary will be his mother and she will be my queen? She will be elevated above the angels. And for some angels, they said, who am I? I am an angel. I will not adore a human being. I will not adore a God and a human being. That's too much for me. I am an angel. I am so beautiful. I am so powerful. So some of the angels rebelled. And they wanted, that's the temptation that the devil gave to us in Adam and Eve in the garden. They wanted to be like God. They wanted to know it better than God. So some of the angels rejected this humble service of God. They didn't want to serve. And in that way, they said, no, I don't want to be part of this plan, and I'm not going to serve. In Latin, we say, non serviam, I'm not going to serve. That's what the fallen angels said. And then, you know, one very humble angel stood up, and he didn't agree to that, what this fallen angel did. So he stood up and said, who is like God? Who is like God? And you know the name of that angel? Michael. Michael. His name means, who is like God? Who is like God? So he stood up and said, who is like God? And with that, he expelled all these fallen angels from heaven. And the other angels who said, yes, we are going to serve. God is good, and he knows better than we. We submit ourselves, and we are also going to serve. We are also going to serve. You see, that's also our temptation. That's also your temptation. Are you going to serve humbly your fellow men, the other students, your friends, your family? Are we going to serve the church? Or do we say, I know it better. I decide myself what I want. And we put ourselves in the place of God. I want to be like God. That's the temptation. I know it better, and no one can tell me what I'm supposed to do. That's pride. Pride was the temptation of the angels, the sin of the angels who fell. So Scripture gives us some indication. In the book of Revelation, it says the dragon, a symbol for the devil, he, with his tail, he wept out a third of the stars in heaven. That's a symbol for the angels. So we can say a third of the angels rejected God. And they tempt us now to do the same, to fall away from God, to reject him, and to say, I don't want to serve. They tempt us with pride. And so that guardian angel, your guardian angel, was one of those angels who said yes to God. He said, I want to serve. And your guardian angel is member of one of the nine choirs of angels. choirs, not like singing choirs, but like a hierarchy, groups of angels that are different. Like every angel is different from the other one. There's no two angels that are twins. No, the angels are not cloned. No, the angels, every angel is very different to the other one. And there are nine choirs. You know the nine choirs? The seraphim, the highest. And Lucifer, the devil, was a member of this highest choir. Was the highest angel that God created, the most intelligent angel. So you see, intelligence does not always save. To know it better, to be intelligent and smart, that does not mean that you go automatically to heaven. But you need that wise heart, that humble heart, that is able to serve. Yes? So it's not always the best to be the smartest, but it's the best to be the humblest, the most loving person. These are the great people before God. So the seraphim, the cherubim, the second choir, then the thrones, then the dominations, powers, the principalities, virtues, archangels and angels. You see, nine choirs, a hierarchy. Why did God not create all the same? They do not have all the same rights. So what does an angel of the ninth choir say? Oh, I want to be all like a seraphim. Well, it's unjust. God created me like a lower angel. Why is that like this? God is unfair. No, the angels are not like that. Every angel has his particular place and his particular task, and there's no envy among the angels. So when there's a higher angel, then he's happy to share his wisdom to the lower angels. And the lower angels, they have also their tasks and contribute to help the higher angels. For example, Saint Michael. What is Saint Michael? What choir? Archangel. That's choir number 8. Choir number 8. So God chose him to lead all the other angels against the devil. So God chooses sometimes the lower to lead the higher. Yes, so everyone has a task that's very important for us to understand too. I have my gifts, you have your gifts. The students here in your classroom, everyone has their talents. You contribute to each other to build up the kingdom of God. Everyone has a task, everyone is important. And what the other one has, maybe the other one does not have, but maybe that one has something that the other one doesn't have. So we have to find out our gifts and develop them and put them, these gifts, into service of the kingdom of God. And then everything works together fine. Now, when I want your gift and you want my gift, then we are fighting. I'm envious, no? I'm angry, and you are angry, and then we fight. And then there's no building up of the kingdom of God. We actually do the opposite, we destroy it. So your angel is one of those angels of those choirs. And you don't know exactly what angel is your choir. Now you will find out in heaven. Now every angel has also a name. From scripture we know three names of angels: Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. But Raphael said, I'm one of the seven who stands before God. So there are other angels who have also their names. And your guardian angel has also a name. And that name is related to that particular mission and task that your angel has in the kingdom of God. That's his identity. And that name of your guardian angel, we also don't know it. We'll know it in eternity, fits exactly to him. And this angel also was then chosen by God because he fits to you. Like God did not just choose whatever angel for you. He chose that angel that fits to you because God has a plan for your life. No, God has a plan for you. And He chooses that angel that most fits to you. Now, what do you think was the guardian angel's reaction when God chose you, him for you? Did he say, "Oh Lord, can I have another one?" No. He was happy. He was happy to receive you as a gift. For him, you are a gift from God. He loves you. And he was waiting for millions of years to be your guardian angel. He was looking forward to that. Why? Because our guardian angel, your guardian angel, was never a guardian angel before. He was never a guardian angel before of another person. And after we die, he is not going to be a guardian angel of another person. He will be only your guardian angel. Isn't that beautiful that God, in his love and care, he chooses one of these great angels in heaven just to be your companion? Now, what actually makes our guardian angel happy? His first happiness is that he can see God face to face. Because when he passed the test, the test of humility, God allowed him to see him face to face. So whatever our guardian angel does, even he is down on earth at our side, he always sees God. Isn't it beautiful to have this angelic person, this angel at our side, who can always see God, who is connected directly to God? He can see him face to face. And this being in the presence of God happened when when he passed the test and God became all for him. Because in the test he said, "Lord, I don't understand quite well why you want to become a human being and what that means, but I choose you. With all my free will, I choose you." And this is love, to choose someone and forever, that is love. So God became his total and definitive scope of his existence. You know, that's why many angels have at the ending of their name, there's EL, like Gabriel, Raphael, Michael. That means God. EL means God in Hebrew. No? So if you have also a name like Daniel or there are other names, no, that ending on L, you can find out what's the meaning of your name. It's related to God. So God is inscribed in every angel's name and heart. So they can see God face to face and they rejoice that it's the great joy. And when we can see God face to face, that exceeds all our imagination. That makes you completely happy and there's nothing missing anymore. So God can see, our angel can see God face to face. And he's like that bridge at our side to heaven. Now, the angel, says Pope Francis, the angel is the daily gateway to transcendence, to the encounter with the Father. That is, the angel helps me to go forward because he looks upon the Father and he knows the way. He knows the way. Sometimes I don't know what to do in my life, so my guardian angel knows the way. He's the perfect tour guide. Now, once I was in Mexico preaching a retreat for young people, and during the retreat we went up a mountain, a volcano that is already extinguished, not anymore active. So on the way up, we walked, and we thought we know the way, but suddenly there was so much fog, and we couldn't see anymore the way. And so we prayed, and then suddenly came a guy and he said, "Well, I went up this mountain already 50 times, so I'm going to guide you." Yes? And that was like a heaven-sent angel because he knew the way. He has experience. And so it's in our spiritual life too. You have an angel at your side who knows the path. He's your tour guide. No? And sometimes when we don't listen to him, we go a wrong way. The angels inspire us what to do. They enlighten us. For example, a friend of mine, a priest also, he was traveling and there was traffic, slow moving traffic. The day before it was raining, but that day was very hot. So he opened his window on the car. And then he heard a voice like telling him, close the window. Then he said, well, it's very hot, I don't have air condition, so I leave the window open. And then suddenly a truck passed by and there was this dirty water on the road, and the water went to the window and he was completely dirty. And then he said, well, next time I'm going to listen to my guardian angel. So the angels can talk to us, not like I'm talking to you now with a microphone, but they talk very silently in our hearts and sometimes also in our conscience. Like when we're about to do a mistake, a sin, then the guardian angel will say, no, don't do that, don't do it. And if you do it anyway and don't listen, then he will say, that was not right, go to confession, fix that problem, say sorry to God, say sorry to that person, that was not right. And that's the voice of our guardian angel in our conscience. Now he talks to us. So he is in the presence of God and he knows the way. That's his first great joy. Then the second great joy of the angel is to see Jesus in his human humanity, and through him also Mary. Because the angels, also your guardian angel, he went down with Jesus from heaven and he served him when he was there in Bethlehem, in Nazareth, in Egypt, in Calvary. He was there, your guardian angel saw that. And that was his joy, to serve and to see Jesus. And he can see him now also in his humanity in heaven. And our Blessed Mother, who is also there, body and soul. Then the next joy for the guardian angel, and actually he goes into the school of Mary, like we all go to school to learn something for our life. Our guardian angel also goes to school. Before he becomes a guardian angel, he goes to our Blessed Mother. Because she was standing beneath the cross, and she saw people crucifying her son, and she forgave them, she prayed for them, and she has mercy on us, because we crucified Jesus. We crucified her son, and she forgave us for doing that through our sins. Also, our Blessed Mother loves us. Jesus gave all of us to her as our mother, and she loves us dearly. And this loving care of the mother is also instilled in the guardian angel so that he can understand us better. Because, you know, the angels are strong, powerful. When I commit a sin, they would like to stop me. No? So the guardian, our Blessed Mother, gives them this kindness for us. Yes? So the next beatitude of the angel, the next happiness of the angel is that he can see actually the plan of God for us. Now, that he can see, like even myself, now I'm on the way to eternity, and he can see what God created me. And he wants to bring this beautiful picture of God in me, he wants to bring it to completion, to fulfillment. So God revealed to my guardian angel the plan he has for creation, so he can fight for creation. Now the next joy of the guardian angel is to see our redemption. Now Jesus, what did he do for me? So my guardian angel looks at the cross, he saw Jesus dying for me, and he thought of one day I will be created, and this blood of Jesus that he shed for me out of love will purify my soul in baptism, will restore me to a child of God when I go to confession. So he can see what Jesus stood for me. The other day we meditated on the stations of the cross. Each station is an act of love of Jesus, is Jesus present and showing to us the path, the cross. Out of love for me, he suffered. Out of love for me, he died. And this love of Jesus for me, the guardian angel makes it his own. So he looks at me now with the love of Jesus. He sees my soul created for eternity, and he loves me, because Jesus loves me too. And he wants to help me to be saved. He doesn't want me to go to hell. He doesn't want me to sin, to mess up my life, but he wants me to always prioritize God. And so he rejoices when I'm baptized. You know, that he can see God present, the Holy Spirit living in my soul. Yes, he can see how the Holy Trinity taking place, taking mansion in my soul, and is present in my soul. And he's amazed when I go to communion. Imagine, he cannot go to communion. A guardian angel is not a human being. So communion is for us men. So the guardian angel, when I receive, I come forward and I kneel down for communion. My guardian angel kneels behind me and prostrates himself. Jesus, God, is now present in my soul. And he cannot experience that. Isn't that wonderful, that privilege we have? Padre Pio said once, if the angels could be envious at us, they would envy us for two things. First, for Holy Communion. And second, that we are able to suffer. Oh, what does that mean? Can I be envious at someone because he can suffer? Yes, because we can help the salvation of other people. So our guardian angel is amazed when Jesus comes to us in Holy Communion, kneels down and prostrates himself and praises God in us, adores God in us. And then there's another joy of the angel when he can see when I committed a sin. He's very sad. He is crying, we can say. When I commit sin, I separate myself from God. But then he's so happy when I go to confession and the sin is removed. I'm washed in the precious blood of Christ and I'm given this new chance to be again in the sanctifying grace. The Holy Trinity lives again in me. That's the joy of an angel. Jesus says that in the Gospel of St. Luke. He says, the angels in heaven rejoice when a sinner turns to God. The angels rejoice when a sinner turns to God, because now God is present again in us when we go to confession. Now, there's another joy of the guardian angel, because he can now fight for us when he becomes our guardian angel. Now he loves us and he wants to fight for us against the devil. Saint Francis de Sales, he said once, we could not resist, we wouldn't be able to resist all temptations of the devil if we were on our own. That's why we have a guardian angel. And he blocks most of temptations away and permits only those temptations that God allows for our growth in love and charity. So the angel blocks away temptation. He fights for us. We don't know what's going on behind our back, how the devil attacks us every day, and the guardian angel shields him away to protect us. There's another joy of the angel. It's the joy to serve. Now, he really loves to be our guardian angel, and when God chose him to be your guardian angel, he rejoiced, he was happy, because that's for him an imitation of Christ. You know, Jesus comes down to us to serve us. He even washes our feet. No, he kneels down before us, washes our feet and serves us, even dies for us. And now the guardian angel also wants to come down to us and serve us. Be humble, not like Jesus. He wants to follow Jesus in this humble service. And there's another joy, actually, for the guardian angel, because he can experience what Jesus experienced. You know, so many people, everyone has a guardian angel, but how many people really talk to their guardian angel? Many ignore him. They never talk to their guardian angel. Yes? So imagine you are at our side of your friend, and you love this friend, you want to serve him, you want to help him, and this friend of yours ignores you all the time, doesn't even talk to you. Imagine, isn't that offensive? Isn't that offensive to ignore one's friend, one's classmate, or one's close companion? So the guardian angel does not go away when he talks to us and we don't listen. He does not go away, he's not offended, he's not hurt, but he just stays there and continues to love us. How great is that love of the guardian angel, that even when we ignore him, he continues to serve us. And that's for him a certain joy, to be at our side with this unconditional love. He doesn't expect anything back. And there he imitates Jesus. Now, so we have this guardian angel at our side, and his greatest desire is to bring us to heaven, to shape us, and to help us on our way to holiness. Now, I told the other day that when Jesus was in the Garden of Olives and he was facing this huge cross, the Passion, and to carry all our sins on his shoulders, to fix our problems, to fix our sins, to redeem us. When Jesus was facing this huge load and his soul was so anxious, so in trouble, so tense, God sent an angel to Jesus. And this angel made him aware of two things. First, he's loved by God, by the Father, and second, that what is going to undergo has a purpose. This will not be in vain, but that will have a great profit. And because he knew that he is loved, and he knew that what he was going to suffer was for benefit, he was ready to undergo the Passion. And so that's also what your guardian angel is doing for you in difficult moments. When you're down, when you're weeping in your room, when no one knows your pain, the guardian angel is at your side to bring you this message. You're not alone. Don't be afraid. That's what the angels always say. Don't be afraid. You're not alone. And hold on. Hold on, there will be a solution. Hold on, don't give up. Don't give up, stand up again. Share your pain to someone. Open yourself up. Don't keep your pain to yourself. And there's a purpose in your life. So many people forget that there's a purpose in life. When they're down, they're despaired, it seems no one loves them, they seem to give up. That's the message of the angel. Don't give up. Even what you're undergoing right now will have a profit for you. You will take something good out of this. Hold on. Go to confession. Go to the Eucharist. Pray. Share your pain to someone. Don't give up. I'm at your side. I'm your guardian angel. So this help in difficult moments, the angels want to give us this assurance that we are not alone and that God is with us. Then there's another insight we can gain from our guardian angel, and that is how to love. You know, he chose already God with all his power of will. God is the scope of his life. God is everything for him. But now he sees Jesus loving us so much that he gave his life for us. So he looks at you, he looks at me, and he says, well, God loves you so much, I also love you and want to save you. And so he turns to us with the love of Jesus and sees Jesus in us. Jesus is present in us. So then he serves God by serving us. He sees God behind us. He sees God looking at us, you know, with love. And then he turns to God. He turns to God, sees how much God loves us, and then he turns to us and sees God in us present. So he does everything possible to help us. And if you are open and listen carefully, you'll discover what our guardian angel wants. And when you establish this friendship with your guardian angel, that's what we promote in the consecration to the guardian angel. When you say, yes, Lord, I acknowledge that I have an angel, and you have given this gift to me, and I want to use this gift now for your glory. I want to become friends with my guardian angel. Then he can do much more for us in our life and enter into our life and help us really. And we are more disposed to his help. He can do much more for us when we create friendship with our guardian angel. Because many times he's at our side being like unemployed. No? Unemployed. Because we don't give work to him. We don't invite him into our lives. So he cannot do much for us. But when you say, okay, guardian angel, please help me. I trust you. He can do much more for us. And I experienced that many times. When I consecrated myself to my guardian angel, it was a big change. And I talked to him, yes, every day. But especially when I need his help, he's always there. Like, for example, once I had a key in my pocket, key of my room, and I was on a retreat in this little hermitage, and I took a walk like 1-2 miles on the fields outside on a rough road. I walked, and then when I came back to the house, I found out that the key was lost. I had a hole in my pocket. So I said, what am I going to do now? That's like 1-2 miles. The key can be everywhere. So I talked to my guardian angel. The guardian angel, I have to enter this house again. There's no extra key. I don't have any replacement. So I need that key. Please help me. So I walked the path, and on one spot, I felt like attracted to look into the dust, like on the ground, to the dust, and there was the key. Imagine, like 2 miles I had to walk, and I found the key in the dust and in the sand. For me, that was a miracle, like a small miracle, no? Because, like, imagine to find a little key. So, but also in other moments, the guardian angel was always there to help and to assist, especially in difficult moments, moments of trials. Sometimes I didn't know the solution for a problem. So I asked guardian angel, can you help me to fix that? Can you help me to arrange this? And he always did. He always found a solution. Sometimes he let me a little hang, no, to pray a little bit more, but he always was there to help, to assist. So the guardian angel, when we open ourselves to his guidance and make this friendship with him, he can do much more for us. But the guardian angel also profits from us. No, he is always at our side, and he watches us. He learns something from us. He learns how Jesus can redeem and guide a person. And he learns closely what that means, that Christ shed his blood for us. It pains him, and that is also a learning process for him when I commit sin. It pains him. He sees now closely what that means, that a person falls into sin and loses sanctifying grace. And it pains him so much. And he makes all effort to inspire me, to bring me back to grace. So that is the guardian angel's help. And there are some saints who could see the guardian angel. I don't have that grace. But some had that grace to see the guardian angel, like Gemma Galgani. She several times saw her guardian angel, and he challenged her many times. For example, sometimes when she was down, the guardian angel appeared to her and said, "Be brave, be brave." No? So he encouraged her, got her up again, and when she was down. When she was not feeling well and she neglected prayer, the guardian angel said, "Gemma, why such disinclination to prayer? This pains Jesus. Do your duty with diligence, and you shall see that Jesus will love you even more." When overwhelmed by her sins, when she was really overwhelmed by the sins she committed, then the guardian angel said to her, "But God's mercy is infinite. God's mercy is greater." So she got courage again and overcame that moment. When sometimes she complained to Jesus about an illness or pain, then the angel explained to her that Jesus permitted this in order to purify her, and he said, "Be good, continue." So encouragement. Then when the guardian angel reminded her of Christ's immense suffering, and she asked the reason for it, he replied, "If you were to see how much Jesus suffers, if you could only see him, how much he suffers for you, then your life would be different." And another time, the guardian angel reminded her to unite her suffering with Jesus's in order to save souls. So Gemma Galgani was very close to her guardian angel. But there was another person, Padre Pio, was very close to his angel. He could see the guardian angels of other people, and they would send the guardian angel to Padre Pio to tell him to pray for them. And Padre Pio also experienced in a moment when the devil attacked him. It was in the night, he was frightened. The devil even beat him up. And so he said, "Oh, guardian angel, please help me." But the guardian angel did not do anything. So he said, it was hurt. Padre Pio was hurt, didn't talk anymore with his guardian angel for some days. But then he had pity on his angel, and then the guardian angel showed him how much God loves him, and he said that this suffering, this attack of the evil one, was necessary. God needed that for a purpose to save someone else from going to hell. So even that suffering of Padre Pio had a reason, and the guardian angel was not allowed to intervene. So the guardian angel is not our servant who does everything what we want, but we can ask our guardian angel for help, and he always will be there according to God's will. So said all of this, I encourage you to be consecrated to your guardian angel. This consecration was given to Mother Gabriela Bitterlich, the foundress of the Opus Angelorum, in the year 1950. It was a private revelation. So it was given by the Holy Spirit to this woman, and she found out that because our time is so much under attack from the evil one, we need the guardian angel even more, and that's why the Lord gave this consecration. Now the Church received this private revelation and approved it. So in the year 2000, exactly on the same day, on May 30, the year 2000, 50 years later, Mother Gabriela had received this consecration on May 30, 1950. So exactly 50 years later, the Church approved it. John Paul II, with Cardinal Ratzinger, approved this consecration. Since then, we are promoting this consecration as a special help for our time. So it's a gift of the Holy Spirit recognized by the Church, approved by the Holy See. It's a prophet for a personal life, for a salvation. It's acknowledging the gift of God, of our guardian angel. It's also making use of this gift in our daily life. And it creates a greater friendship, communion with the guardian angel, but also with the Lord, because the guardian angel always guides us to God. So I want to invite you to make this consecration to the guardian angel. There is a preparation. We have this book that you can avail after this talk. You can apply for that. I give you an application form. And we invite you to do this journey with your guardian angel for 1 year. There's for every month is one letter that you can follow. And at the end, then you can be consecrated to your guardian angel in a little ceremony before the Blessed Sacrament, because all consecrations lead us closer to God. So if you would like to do that, please approach me then after this talk. I give you the application. Please fill it out. We'll take a picture of you for the records. Or if you have a picture, you can just attach it. And then we would request a donation of $20 for this book and some other items that you can have. I'll give that to you. Then you can start your formation. There's going to be also a group in this parish. Every last Saturday of the month in the evening after Mass, there will be a little meeting. So you can do that together with others in a group. That's beautiful because this sharing, listening to each other, helps then to deepen this and to make the experience better for you, your formation. So you can join this group, we invite you then, or you can do it on your own, or sometimes you can show up for the meeting and do it together. So that's up to you. In order, it's always good to share about the experiences we have and encourage each other. There's also a formation book for youth. It's called The Guardian Angel Challenge. So that's for young people, 14 up. So if there are teenagers who would like to do this consecration and take this Guardian Angel Challenge, you can follow this book for young people. That's also available then. We will send that to you. I didn't bring copies yet. It's just new. So we can send that to you then afterwards. Then I want to thank you for your support in this parish mission. There's a basket there behind, Father announced. Thank you for all your donations. It's a great support for our community and for future missions. Let us conclude with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the gift of our guardian angel. From the beginning of our life, you have assigned this angel to us. We want to acknowledge him today, his presence, and thank him for his loving care. He knows all our ups and downs, and he shows us the way. Help us to listen to his voice, to obey him, so that we can serve you ever better, love you always more, and together with him then praise you for all eternity in heaven. Glory to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit.